the headquarters of Ramsey Solutions, broadcasting for the Pods Moving and Storage Studios. It's the Ramsey Show, where we help people build wealth, do work that they love, and create actual amazing relationships. Jade Washaw, Ramsey Personality, is my co-host today. Open phones at 888-825-5225. You jump in, we'll talk about your life and your money. Jerixa is with us in Boston. Hey, Jerixa, what's up?
Yes, hi. Thank you for taking my call.
Our pleasure. How can we help?
So I was listening to your show for a while, and I was starting to save and trying to get out of debt and doing all that stuff. And obviously, I do have a finance car, so I was thinking about it but not willing to. But then I had an insurance problem, and they realized, or I realized, that I had points on my license a lot. So my insurance went up to $600 a month, plus my car now up to like $450.
Your insurance went up to $600 a month?
Yes.
Why?
I have 5 points on my license that I didn't realize until I updated my license on my insurance.
Okay. Wow.
So now the penalty is 35 months for it. So I have that, and then I have my car payment, which I know was kind of stupid. It's $450. So my idea was to get rid of the car because my kids' schools are distant where I can walk them, and then get an. The only issue is I work in my car. I do Uber, but I just feel like it's not worth it anymore. So it would make more sense for me to get a real job. Or something else, I guess. And I won't have a car, though. But I have the T-station across from my house. Like, right there.
I so think you have a great plan. I think that's a great plan.
I guess my question is how to go about it. I don't know if it's taken advantage or... But I do live in, like, Section 8 housing. And I have a lot of, like, government assistance. So I know... The goal will be to move up and away. So I do have a few options. And I guess that was my question. Do I lower my rent and take 2 part-time and then start career searching and, you know, figure out what I want to do for 27? And then I have 2 kids. I'm a single mom of 2 kids. And I'm 27.
Hmm. Okay. You got your hands full, kiddo.
Okay. Yeah. Let's
back up. Whoa. Stop. Let's back up. Okay. You're asking really, really good questions after you got this really stern wake up call from your insurance company. It's kind of shook you and you're really relooking everything. And that's very wise. That's very smart. So one of the things I learned many, many years ago, I read a piece of research that said that rich people, when they're making decisions, think about how it's going to affect them 20 years from today. Poor people think about how it's going to affect them Friday.
Mm-hmm.
And I've been both, by the way. I've been the thank God it's Friday, oh God it's Monday, barely hanging on by my fingernails where you are right now. And so what I learned to do is I said, if I want to be rich people don't make decisions because they're rich. They're rich because they make decisions that way. And so what we want to do is increase the planning window. And so when I run into someone in your case, and you're a very inspiring young woman, I think you're going to really be somebody someday. I want to ask myself, 10 years from today, where do I want to be? And which of these decisions take me there? Because if you're not careful, you make short-term decisions which keep you in a short-term situation. If you make long-term decisions, let me tell you what almost always happens. They're almost always painful now and awesome later. Short-term decisions are almost always awesome right now, but painful later because I'm stuck. Does that make sense to you?
Yes.
So, what's the best career path for you that makes you have an amazing life 20 years from today? And what are the steps along that ladder that are there? And what's the first step of that? Even if it's a a painful step or something you don't want to do right now, and it feels icky right now, but by summer, we'll start to see the light a little bit, and then by the next summer, really start to see the light a little bit, and so on. And so, you know, an example of that is Uber is a valid good side hustle. It's not a real good long-term career play. Agreed?
Yes, I finally agree with that.
Yeah. So, I mean, even if your car insurance hadn't gone up, you don't want to be, if you're 27 now, you don't want to be a 57-year-old Uber driver in flying cars or whatever, right? But, I mean, that's not a good long-term play. So what is our long-term play? What do we want to be, and what are the steps to get there? What must be true about you and your life that's not true about you and your life today to get you there? And when Sharon and I went broke and lost everything, and we had a little baby and a toddler, and we were so scared we couldn't breathe, and the electricity got cut off and the water got cut off because I didn't pay the bill because I didn't have any money, I had to stop and think, A, I got to get those turned back on, but B, what do I do so that I'm never here again? And I started asking myself those questions, and that's how a lot of the principles on this show were born. So we've got three issues on the table today we need to make decisions about with a long-term mindset: career, housing, and transportation.
Yes.
Okay. Long-term, riding the subway or the bus is not going to make you wealthy.
That's right.
Short-term, it might enable you to save up and pay cash for a $2,000 car, and your insurance won't be much on a $2,000 car. Okay. Yes. So maybe we do that for a little while. Long-term, living in subsidized housing obviously is not going to make you wealthy. But short-term, it might give you the footing to take some steps towards getting out, right?
Yes.
So we start setting some dates and stuff in front of us of where we're going to go from there.
Yeah. You know, Jerixa, the situation that you're in, I relate to in some ways, and there's something about kind of feeling rock bottom. Right? You feel like you're at the bottom, but now the way to go is up, right? There, you know, necessity truly is the mother of invention. And sit down, like Dave said, and really start looking through, okay, what can I do? I want to give you Ken Coleman's Paycheck to Purpose and start thinking through, all right, what can I do with myself career-wise? What will that look like with childcare? And really start putting this, I don't want it floating around in your mind. I want you writing these things down on paper and creating a clear plan what you're going to do next.
Before I let you go, let me, right quick, I'm going to jump in on you, Jade. I'm going to give you so much stuff, it's going to be unbelievable, because I think you're awesome, and I want you to go do everything we tell you to do. I'm going to put you in Financial Peace University. We're going to sign you up for Ken Coleman's career assessment. We're going to send you his book on Paycheck to Purpose that Jade was talking about. We're going to send you my book, Total Money Makeover. I want you to work 6 extra jobs. I want you to stay in that place right now and get you a $2,000 car. By 1 year from today, I want you out of there, and I want you in a decent full-time job taking you towards your career. Your short-term steps to get to your long-term goals. Hold on. We'll pick up. We're going to give you $1,000 worth of stuff right there, kiddo. But do everything we said.
And call us back and let us know how it goes.
Thank you for joining us, America. I'm Dave Ramsey, your host. So, 27-year-old single mom with 2 kids, 52% of the single moms in America live below the poverty level, and she's probably right close.
Yeah.
And the reason I just dumped all that stuff on her is it's my best shot to help her. And so, the interesting thing is that over 30 years of doing this, I have met, I'm not exaggerating when I say thousands of people who have taken basic financial principles like we're talking about, looking long-term, saving money, not because when you look short-term, you take out a big car payment because the car smells nice.
Right.
When you, I mean, she's living in subsidized housing as a $400 car payment. See, that's
$450.
That's what keeps you there.
Yeah.
And so, But the opposite of that is what we started describing and what she had already come to in her own wisdom. But the story for you in America is that you can go from there to millionaire.
Your bad break can become your big break.
And it is about applying the principles and thinking long term. And it's like a buddy of mine who grew up in a really rough neighborhood, he said, it's easier to get out of the hood than it is to get the hood out of you.
That real talk.
You know, and it's easier to get out of the old neighborhood, whatever your old neighborhood is. Because how many times have any of you out there listening to me have heard or even said these words? People like us.
Yes, Dave.
... The first time I ever ran into it, and I thought it was so humorous because I'm of course a southern redneck hillbilly, right?
Yeah. Yep.
And about as white can be, right?
Uh-huh.
And so I thought redneck people like me were the only ones that did stupid butt stuff with car payments.
Mm-hmm.
So I you know, start to get a little bit of traction, and there people are inviting me to speak, and I end up in New York City speaking to this group of people there. There was about 1,000 people in the audience, and it was pretty much the United Nations.
Yeah.
I mean, there's every color, every stripe, every background, every accent except mine.
Yeah.
In the audience, right? And so I was pretty entertaining to them with my hillbilly accent, right? But when I got off the stage and started signing, I was cracking up because this lady comes up to me and she goes, "But you don't understand. I'm Puerto Rican."
Mm.
And I'm like, "I'm sorry. I don't know what that means. I mean, I know what a Puerto Rican
means,
but I don't
know
what you're talking about." She goes, "All Puerto Ricans have to have a big car payment.
No.
We have to have a nice car." And I'm like, "Darling, that's not a Puerto Rican disease. That's a human disease." And it's like,
I mean,
people like us.
I'm probably getting ready to get myself canceled, but I hear it all the time. Jade, the system is set up for people like us to fail.
Yeah.
I hear it all the time.
Well, I got to tell you, that is not an African American thing. That's not a Puerto Rican thing. That is not even a redneck white guy thing. I mean, it's because I heard that. You know, the little man can't get ahead. People like us,
but
the corporations. I got a relative. The corporations. I'm like, what are you even talking about?
Look. Yes. There are things, there are obstacles to overcome for anybody.
For anybody.
There's sexism, there's racism, there's ageism, there's all these things. But you're more limited by your own mindset than you are limited by anything systemic. Because it's like what you said, I can get out of the hood, but I didn't get the hood out of me. Or, those are the things. That's a mindset.
But the thing I was thinking about with her is, she can do this.
She can.
The problem is, I believe she can do it maybe more than she does right now.
And that's the thing.
Because she's not got anybody around her going, "You can do this."
That's right.
She's not hanging out with people that are doing it. She doesn't have a community around her going, lifting her arms up,
yep,
saying, "You got this, you got this, you got this." So we tried in just a moment there to be her community and love her and dump a bunch of things on her. But guys, you can do this.
She is going to have to be very intentional about changing her own mind, and because we poured it into her, but she's got to keep filling her mind with, "I can do this, I can overcome this, I can earn money, I can get out, it's for me."
Mm-hmm.
It is for me. Financial peace is for me too, not just the people on TV, not just the Joneses, not just the folks over there. Financial peace is for you. Being debt free is for you, not just those folks over there. So I hope she believes that.
There are idiots that will hold you back for some stereotypical reason. Again, racism is real. Sexism is real. Regionalism is real. I have people that wouldn't put me on the radio because they thought with a southern accent I must be broadcasting from a double wide, not wearing shoes. But that doesn't mean that that's true. It just means that's an ignorant person. 100% of racists are ignorant people. 100% of sexists are ignorant people. That's ridiculous. And so you can't let ignorant people make your decisions
that's
for
right.
you and set up the boundaries by which you run your life. And so it just, the first thing I did was when I was a kid, I got indoctrinated. My parents got in the real estate business with the positive thinking movement. And then I kind of got, that's just overdone. And it is overdone.
Yeah.
Sometimes. But, I mean, you can't positive think your way into anything. But you can't negative think your way into anything.
Right.
You can't positive think your way into everything. But you can't negative think your way into anything.
That's good, Dave.
And you got to have new information, continuing to do the same thing over and over again, expecting a different result, and blaming it on someone else is part of what you're doing.
Yeah.
Is the definition of insanity. So that's why we get so angry around here and passionate about victim thinking. She didn't have victim
thinking. She did not. No, she called here.
She was scratching and clawing trying to figure out a way.
Yeah.
But some people look at her situation and go, well, the problem is not her. The problem is the systemic problems in the economy and the whole back of a lady like that. Yeah, they're there.
They're there, but you've heard me say it, Dave.
She can do it.
You can't blame your way to a better life. Those are all things that you can blame.
That'll tweet.
But at the end of the day, you can build your way to a better life. You can believe your way. You can behave your way. You cannot blame your way. And I love that she called here because she's tired. She wants to do something different, and she can.
So the reason I'm going off on the soapbox is for all of you that are listening, you actually can help people. And you don't help them by giving them a government program. You help them by showing them the way out and putting your arm around them and walking with them on their way out.
Yep.
And so those of you that are using our materials in halfway houses where people are working their way out of prison, those of you that are using our materials in domestic violence housing, that are letting those ladies get a new life after they decided to, after they got in a situation where they're no longer a punching bag. Those of you that are using our materials in subsidized housing situations or in lower income, whatever you want to call it, situations, homeless shelters, a lot of them, we send them stuff all the time. Those of you that are doing that, it works. Thank you. You are the answer to these people's, to folks in that situation. The reason I'm not broke anymore is because people love me enough to put their arm around me and show me a different way. I didn't figure it all out in my own head.
I know, that's right. I'm here because y'all came alongside me.
Without even knowing you.
Without even knowing me. It's the material. Like he said, if you are putting this message out there, you have no idea the domino effect that you're creating.
So there's a power to hope that supersedes ignorant people that are an ism. If you're an ism, you're an ignorant person, and you're in the way. And so if you're engaging in an ism, that's your problem.
Yep.
And there's the power that supersedes that is hope. And that's not some kind of false panacea positive thinking way. The truth is, when you believe that you can go do stuff, so you go do it, that's when you get there. But when you believe you can't do it, then you don't go do it. And so when someone says, well, it's systemic, I want to smack them, because you're a hope stealer when you do that. You're a hope stealer when you allow someone to blame something on someone else instead of going after the dad blame solution. Grab it by the throat.
Yes.
It's yours. Oh, God, she's inspiring to me.
I love it.
She's going to be awesome. Hey, we need to follow up with her.
I already got her email, Dave. I'm already on it.
You're on it. All right. You're a step ahead of me. This is The Ramsey Show. This hour, as we talk about your life and your money, this is The Ramsey Show. Thank you for joining us. I'm Dave Ramsey. Jade Washaw, Ramsey Personality, is my co-host today. Justin's with us in San Antonio. Hi, Justin. Welcome to the show.
Hey, Dave. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure. What's up?
So my question is, first of all, I'll start off. At the beginning of December, my wife passed away. We have two young children, a 1-year-old and a 6-year-old.
Oh,
and
happened?
Oh, she had cancer.
I'm so sorry.
She was diagnosed when my son was 6 weeks old.
Oh my gosh!
And she's been fighting it ever since. And
so a couple of years, huh?
It was just over a year. She was admitted on Thanksgiving, and on Thanksgiving to the day she was back in.
How old was she, Justin?
31.
31?
Yes, sir.
And what was her name?
Caitlin.
I'm so sorry. Wow.
Yeah, it's been obviously not what we expected, but, you know, we're here.
One day at a time. Yeah.
Yes, sir. So, my question is, I mean, we've been following the Dave Ramsey plan I've been listening to you for 15 years. We were married for 8. So we're debt free. We don't have any debt other than, our home. And so I have a plan with, you know, his life insurance money and things like that have been coming in. There is enough there, plus what we already had saved and stuff like that, to pay off the house. And that's it. We own everything, just this house. The only thing we have debt on. So obviously my plan was to do that. It was a house that we built. It was her dream house. So kind of points me in that direction to use the money for that. We have other money as well, but just specifically that money. Mm-hmm. I just wanted to know, you know, some advice, or if I should, in your opinion, if I should just wait, or, you know, or if you need any other information to judge that.
Well, wasn't my wife. I never met her, and I still can't breathe just talking to you, so I can't imagine what you're going through. What we suggest folks do, if possible, in the loss of a loved one, is to wait 6 months before you make any major financial decisions, and let some of the biggest and early waves of grief clear so that your mind is thinking clearer. Nothing you have said indicates that you're unclear. Nothing you've said sounds weird. You sound like you're processing this whole thing properly, and you've been fighting it with her for a year, so it wasn't like it was a shock or something. So you've had a period of time to work through some of the emotions, at least partially, okay? But there's no harm, no foul in parking the money in a CD for 6 months and just crying.
Right.
And then you'll always hurt from this, but as time goes along, you'll think clearer and clearer and clearer and clearer. Sharon and I have been married 40 years. If she died the 1st of December, I would not be thinking clearly right now, I can just tell you. And my brain would be in a total fog. And so I love the idea of doing nothing, and I think that's a possibility for you. It's not horrible to pay off the mortgage, but it's also not horrible to just wait a few months and just breathe. Given that it was your dream home with her, she was involved in the building of it, and it might be painful to live there. You might discover that a year from now. I don't know. Did she pass away at the hospital or at home?
At the hospital.
Okay. So that makes keeping the home a better idea. It might be harder were she there, right?
Right. Yeah, I mean, it's mainly everything was to design for our children. So.
Yeah. Well, you see her fingerprints every time you turn a corner, though.
Oh, I mean, we were picture people. We have pictures everywhere.
Well, you don't have those. I hope you have those forever. But I'm just saying I don't want the house to be a cause of pain, and you kept it only because you paid it off. You follow me? I don't think that's going to be the case. I don't hear anything here that indicates that. But a little bit of time will be clearer on that. If you can wait 4, 5, 6 months and park that money in a CD and do as little decision-making as you can and just give yourself some room to cry, you'll make a better decision 6 months from now than you will make now. You might make exactly the same decision, and that'll be okay, but it'll be made from a clearer mind. That's my only suggestion.
Yes, sir.
Okay. I agree wholeheartedly. I think that taking the time and just settling is the way to go. And like Dave said, you're probably going to end up making the same choice, but at least you'll know it was from a place of clarity and not just from that place of, because I think sometimes when things like this happen, you're just, I got to do
autopilot.
Something. I got to do something, you know?
Right.
Yeah. I'm sorry, Justin.
Absolutely.
Amen.
Yeah, I appreciate it.
Well, we're honored to be part of your family and that you call us in the worst moment of your life and that we get to be there with you and walk with you. That's powerful. Huh. And if you need anything else, we're still here. You call back 6 months from now if you want to talk about it again. We'll talk about it. I'll probably remember that call. Mm-hmm. Alicia's with me in Boise, Idaho. Welcome to the Ramsey Show, Alicia. What's up?
Hey, Dave. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure. How can I help?
Hey, I've got a question. I am currently on baby steps 4 and 7. I am looking to potentially, my goal is
4 and 7. Your house is paid for?
Yes, sir. Negative, but it's not my forever home, and I plan on selling it.
Okay, there's no such thing as 4 and 7. That's why I was asking.
So you're just on baby step 4 and 6.
She has a mortgage.
Well, yeah, okay.
Okay.
Yes, sir.
All right, I'm just trying to understand what's going on. All right, okay, I'm back with you now.
Well, I got
you're writing a whole new script for these baby steps. I was trying to catch up. Okay.
So 4 is completed. We'll check marks that, but 5 and 6. Well, okay, 6 I have. Still, I have a mortgage that I am paying on, correct?
Correct.
I currently have, my goal is to build my forever home.
There's no such thing.
Next year. Well, there isn't?
No. I've lived in 4 forever homes. Life changes and you're going to move again. But you want to move up in house and get you a cool house. I'm okay with that part. Okay.
Yes. Yes, I do. And I want to build it.
Good.
And I want to at least have 50% of that cost saved up.
Good.
Cool.
I have $125,000 sitting in the bank right now.
Way to go.
What I would like to know is where can I stick that to generate its own, not income, but like build off of it? So it's sitting there making at least a little bit more than what it's sitting in my regular bank account.
How long before you break ground on the house?
As of right now, my projection is next year.
Okay.
Depending upon the market and how all the material and cost is going to be. Yeah. But right now I'm projecting 2024.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm projecting to try to get to 200K.
Good for you. You're
That's
awesome.
So cool.
And how much equity is in your current home?
I've got about 80 in equity, 80,000.
Okay. So when you sell it, you'll have another 80. So it'd be 280 in. What's the house going to cost you going to build?
My builder says roughly around 400 to 425.
Awesome. So you're going to have a mortgage under 200 grand, 150 to 200 grand, and you're going to pay that off in just a couple of years. You're a rock star. Way to go. So you cannot, the only thing I do with money on the short term is put it in something like an index fund, like an S&P 500 index fund. That's whatever the stock market does. In 1 year, you could lose 5%, you could gain 10%. It's probably not worth it. I would just shop around and try to get a little bit more with a money market or some kind of CD for 1 year.
HYSA?
I would rather it be safe for you, the way your mind works after talking to you, than I would you try to make more on it. And so if you make 2% instead of 1%, that's okay. But you're not going to make 10% without taking risk I don't want you to take. This is The Ramsey Show. Jade Washaw, Ramsey Personality, is my co-host. Let's face it, taxes are confusing. We hate them. And if you buy into some of the tax service ads out there, you'll believe you'll never get a grasp on taxes and you shouldn't even try. And so let us take care of you. Or they'll suck you into offers that won't help you win with money. And here's a good tax tip for you today. A tax refund is not a bonus. It's a refund. It's your money that you paid in too much to the government, and then drunk Uncle Steve, sometimes known as Uncle Sam, sends it back to you with no interest. So if you get a big tax refund, it's nothing to cheer about. It means you calculated your withholding wrong. That's all it means. You loaned them money interest-free all year, and then they sent it back to you. Santa Claus, I know him personally, does not live in D.C. Not there, baby. There's your tax tip, all right? So If you hadn't already filed and you're ready to work with a service you can trust, got complicated taxes, get a Ramsey Trusted Tax Pro on your side. They'll walk you through it if you got a complicated return. If you got a basic return, use the Ramsey Smart Tax software. It's really cheap, really easy to do. Boom. And we're not going to try to sell you a credit card like TurboTax.
You didn't disguise that very well, Dave.
I didn't. I thought I was coughing there, but yeah, they're owned by Intuit, and sell you a credit card and try to get you a loan on your refund so that you're happy you got a refund. So now you got a loan with them instead of just doing your stinking taxes. All this crap around doing your taxes. Smart Tax, Ramsey Smart Tax, just does the taxes. It don't do nothing else. It's kind of boring. So RamseySolutions.com/tax. Check out our Ramsey Trusted Tax Pros and the Ramsey Smart Tax software. Depending on whether you got a complicated or a simple return, we can help you either way. And no hidden gotchas. We have no other agenda. We just want you to do this. And no more refunds. Jeez, people, come on. RamseySolutions.com/tax. Get her done. Chad's with us in San Antonio. Hey, Chad, welcome to the Ramsey Show.
Hey, Dave. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure, man. What's up?
So I'm a fairly new listener, and recently I just took a traveling job, and we moved from Arizona, and we travel throughout the country. Who's we? Me and my wife.
Okay.
She works remote, so she's able to work anywhere
that
I go.
That sounds like an adventure. Cool.
It's great. So rather than staying in hotel rooms or Airbnbs or short-term rentals, we decided to purchase, we sold our home and purchased a travel trailer. So we have a note on that of approximately $70,000. And my question for you is, do we let the bank float that and continue to make payments? Or is paying something like that off a priority? We don't have any kids. I'm
do you have other debt?
35. No, actually,
how much money do you have?
Maybe 3,000 or 4,000. I've got about $90,000 saved, but we're trying to have kids this year, so I
doesn't cost $90,000 to have a kid. Either sell the trailer or pay it off today.
Okay.
If you're not willing to pay it off, you need to sell it.
Okay.
You want to know why? You want to know why? You want to know why?
I want to know why.
This stupid thing's going down in value like a rock. What'd you pay for it?
$130.
And you bought it new?
Yes, sir.
You know what it's going to be worth in 5 years, don't you?
About what I owe on it, yeah.
No. In 5 years, it's worth $30.
Lower.
You lost $100,000 over 5 years. That's what this did. So if you're going to keep it, you got to pay it off.
Was it a smart option to do this other than to stay in Airbnbs? I just felt like that was throwing money out the window.
I don't think it would have cost you $100,000 because you're paying payments plus losing $100,000.
Right.
So no, it was not. It was not a smart move. But you're there now. I'm not. I mean, you know. So here's the thing: you're getting ready to have kids. Sometimes you're probably going to sell it and settle down. The sooner you sell it and settle down, the less financial damage you've got. So were I doing this over, if you really were bent on what you're doing, I probably would have bought the $30,000 used one and towed it around and let it turn into $15,000, and then that would have been much more palatable. You bought a freaking Bentley to tuck behind your truck. $130,000.
Our lifestyle, we've been camping and traveling and doing off-road sports, so it kind of made sense.
You're not even listening.
You
lost $100,000, Chad. That's what this you overbought. You completely stepped in it, and it's all over your shoe. And shaking your shoe at me is not going to get it off.
No,
it's still there. Oh my gosh!
So these trailers, it's just like with a car. They're losing 60% of their value within the first.
Boats and trailers go down faster than cars.
Ooh,
and
it's painful.
And RVs are the worst. They're the worst of the worst. So whatever you put into a boat, a camper, or an RV, you need to be able to set that amount of money in the middle of the floor and set fire to it, and it'd be okay. Because that's basically what you're doing. Now, I have a couple boats, and the same situation.
Yeah.
But I can afford to set fire to that much money and it not affect my life. Chad can't afford to lose $100,000. So, Chad, if I were in your shoes, if you're going to keep it, and I don't think you're going to get rid of it based on talking to you for 2 minutes, you're probably going to keep it because you're really sold out on this whole idea. I would pay it off at a minimum. At least then you've admitted what you've done and you feel it.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Mm-hmm. And you don't have the payments anymore. So now we take the payments and you start rebuilding your money so that you can buy a home and settle when you have kids, because you're and the sooner you do that, the less this is going to go down in value, because I'm talking 5 years out, that 130 is going to be worth 30.
Oh, that's painful.
And so I mean that's where we are, but if you sell it now, you probably could sell it for what you owe on it.
Yeah.
But you're probably going to run this plan for a little while longer. I doubt one phone call to Dave Ramsey is going to change all this. So that's the plan. But, yeah, that's what I would do if I were in your shoes. The good news is you have the money in the account, and you can pay it off.
Oof.
Ouch. 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 Annie's in Phoenix. Hey, Annie, what's up?
Hi. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure. What's up?
I have a question. So my job that I work at, they give us stocks, and they've been giving us stocks for the last 5 years that I've been working there. I've never really done anything with it. So they just announced they're not going to give us stocks anymore, so I'm like, okay, I should do something with it. I'm wondering if I should just sell them and then pay off my car, and then just, like, from there snowball into my credit card debt, or if I should just ignore it and leave it and let it grow, or I'm not sure how that works, to be honest. And sell my car to pay off my credit card debt.
I liked your first idea. If I had a bunch of company stock, I'd probably liquidate it in order to pay off debt, only because it's single stocks. You know, it's not your long-term play for investing. And I don't know what company you work for. I don't know how stable they are. But if something were to happen, you know, with the company, the value of the stocks could easily go down. So that's what I would do.
Yeah, sell it, and if you got enough to pay off your car and your credit cards, great. If not, pay off your smallest debt to your largest debt, and then take any money that's freed up and any money you can squeeze out of your budget and finish off the rest of the debts. You want to have a goal, Annie, of being debt-free as fast as you can, because your most powerful wealth-building tool is your income, and the faster you're not giving it to someone else for buying stupid stuff with money you don't have to impress people you don't really like, the faster you're going to become wealthy. And that's the process. So yes, definitely liquidate that today. And it's a bonus money. You got a bonus at work. You got a bonus at work. What are you going to do with it? I'm going to use it to get out of debt. That's what I'm doing. Good question, Annie. Thank you for the call. That puts this hour of the Ramsey Show in the books. Dave here. You can find all of our shows with the Ramsey Network app on your smartphone. It's the only place to listen to the entire back catalog of episodes. Download the Ramsey Network app in your favorite app store today.
Hey, it's James, producer of the Ramsey Show. This episode is over, but check the episode notes for links to products and services you heard about during this episode. Thanks for listening.